5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Were you in college with Michael Jordan?
Yes, he and I are best friends. No, I saw him.
Hey, Lizzie, how's it going?
Hey, it's going okay. I'm getting over a stomach bug. So.
Oh, no.
I know.
Did you have the shits?
Vomit and diarrhea.
No, I was thrown up. Like, I had the worst headache of my life.
Oh.
It was like 12 hours, and it started yesterday at the park with Al. And
do you have a bucket next to your chair?
No. But if I have to run, you guys will understand.
I understand. You know what? You should eat a pizza, an entire pizza right now. Or spaghetti.
How about a nice, greasy pork sandwich?
I was just going to say.
A nice, greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray.
Before we talk about the Super Bowl and a couple other things, we have a guest this week. His name is Scott A. Young. He is an author. He he's written many books, but the ones we're going to talk about tonight, it's part of the Manifold series. And there are two books out now, with the third coming out sometime this year, I believe. The first one is called Selfies. The most recent one is called Fabricants. Fabricants is the second installment in the gripping Manifold series and resumes the epic sci-fi drama that began in Scott's first novel, Selfies. And that's all we're going to say because we don't want to spoil anything. We're going to talk to Scott tonight, talk about the series. Dustin, you have listened to the first one. Jeff, you listened to the first one, right?
Yeah, I haven't started the second one yet, though, but I did get it.
Oh, thank you. Dustin, did you?
I haven't started the second one, but I own it.
I just started Operation Bounce House today.
I've got three books. Everything that I wanted to hear in the last year all dropped within like 5-6 days of each other.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I've got like four books that I really want to read, but I don't want to do them like in rounds. I want to knock them out one at a time.
I'm reading the third book in the John Dies at the End series, or listening to it, because his new one's coming out in the fall, the most recent one. So I got to read two more. And then I'll be able to read the fifth one, the David Wong series, John Dies at the End. This book is full of spiders. Seriously, dude, don't touch it. Came out in 2012. I finished that one late last year. What the Hell Did I Just Read is the one I'm reading right now from 2017. And If This Book Exists, You're in the Wrong Universe from 2026. And finally, this year, There Are No Giant Crabs in This Novel, A Novel of Giant Crabs. I love his book titles.
Yeah.
The problem with this one that I'm listening to right now is this narrator he does one character. He makes one of the bad guys sound like Paul Lind, which is enjoyable. But everything else, everybody has the same voice and tone. And it's so hard to pay attention sometimes for me. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but to me, it's hard to, you know, follow.
I like it better when they do characters.
Yeah, anytime you can make different characters sound completely different, it immerses you more in the book.
Hurt your voice, too, to do females. Lizzie, do you listen to audiobooks?
I think I'm the only one I've listened to is Dungeon Crawler Carl. That's really the only one. I don't know how you guys have time to listen to all this stuff.
Well, you're not constantly driving around.
Right.
No. Yeah. And I'm constantly with
your
somebody
son.
Who I teach.
Yeah. Right. And then speaking of audiobooks, it was just announced, well, books in general, that the third, I guess it'll be the final, Stephen King's The Talisman. It's called Other Worlds Than These. Of course, Peter Straub died, but they got together and they they worked out an outline or a story.
Yeah, well, he was working on it before he died, and then he got sick and he went in the hospital, and then he kind of had a recovery. Mm-hmm. And I think he was still working on it through this whole time. Yeah, so he got sick again and then died.
Well, there are other worlds than these. Maybe he's existing. I don't understand, because I think I have to go back. Black House is one of those books I only listened to one time. Yeah. And that's Frank Muller narrated that. And he also did the first Talisman.
Yeah, that's my favorite of the Stephen King's books.
Yeah, it's such a great book. Wolf. Great book to read, great book to listen to, especially with Frank Muller narrating. Frank Welker would be good. He's good Scooby-Doo. This one, though, Other Worlds Than These, it opens in Midworld. Now, did they go to Midworld?
Spoiler, it took forever in Black House to get to the territories. Like, yeah, but literally halfway through the book before they went in the territories.
Well, he was scared to, right?
Yeah, I think he just forgot how to flip.
Yeah,
he didn't know how. Yeah, he couldn't remember how to do it, and ended up doing it unconsciously. Yeah.
He didn't have the magic black man to help him, like all those Stephen King books from the 80s.
Yeah,
Traveling Jack. But I don't understand. This one is definitely a reference to Midworld, and I don't recall them ever calling it.
I think since this Peter Straub is dead, Stephen King is saying that the territories has been Midworld all along.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he actually wrote a tweet that said the territories has always been in Midworld. You know, it was one of those things that was posted all over the Stephen King groups at the time, because there's a lot of people going, I told you so, you know, year long debates over stuff like this. And yeah, it's funny when stuff like that happens. He throws those little tidbits out.
I'm very much looking forward to that. Now they put a part of the first chapter in Esquire magazine. Has anybody read that?
No, I gotta get that.
Yeah, it's about I don't know, 12 paragraphs.
Oh wow!
Yeah, the one thing I was kind of curious about was this is going to be one of three of his last books. He says so.
King's?
Yeah, he's retiring. Done.
He said that before too, though.
Yeah, but he also wasn't almost 80.
Yeah.
Right.
When he said it the last time.
I didn't know that King's Sorrow was his son Joe Hill's first book in 7 years or something like that.
Yeah, his first novel in a while. He's written some short stories.
And he wrote, he spent a lot of time writing with the, what was that TV show that did his Vampire Santa book?
Oh, yeah, the Nosferatu. Yeah.
And they made that into a movie.
He was part of that Lock and Key show also.
Yeah.
Hmm. He's a pretty talented writer.
Learn from the best.
Yep.
The question is, who's going to narrate this Talisman book? Is it going to be Will Patton? Is George Guidall still alive?
I think he retired.
Yeah. I think Patton retired too.
He did?
He's not been narrating any of his stuff since that last the Holly book before the last one.
Yeah.
I will say that as long as it's not Jennifer Jason Leigh narrating the audiobook, it'll be okay. Because she did the novelization of Once Upon a Time.
Quentin Tarantino's book, yeah.
Yeah, it was so bad.
He's absolutely right.
My name is Cliff, and I'm a stuntman.
Not that she's not super talented actress.
A great actress, yeah. I'm not an actor, but
I'm picturing her as a narrator.
I'm just going to sit here and think about Twilight Zone, the movie.
What? Too soon?
No, that was me.
Hey, give her a break. Her father was killed.
Yes. Do you ever see Twilight Zone, the movie, Lizzie?
Did that have John Lithgow in it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I saw that when I was little. And like the No Mouth family. Yes. Yeah.
You know, that was Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
His sister with No Mouth was Bart Simpson. Nancy Cartwright.
Really?
Nancy Cartwright, yeah.
But when they made the movie, one of the first vignettes is Vic Morrow was the racist guy who they kept sending him to like Nazi Germany or Vietnam. There's a scene in it where it's supposed to be Vietnam, and they shot the scene in a studio with a helicopter, and the helicopter crashed and it killed a bunch of actors, including Jennifer Jason Leigh's dad.
Oh my gosh.
Vic Morrow.
Who was
during the shooting?
Yeah.
And the shitty part is they even used part of the footage.
Yeah,
Yeah.
That's the one thing that most people, if they don't like John Landis 99% of the time, that's the reason why.
That's why.
So that was before like social media and before like news spread quickly. So Hollywood was able to cover
this,
that stuff.
This
up.
Spread. This was a fiasco that went on for, I mean, better part of a decade afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm saying when the movie came out, they were able to keep it under wraps, right?
No, they couldn't.
No,
they couldn't. It was one of those. It was kind of like Rust. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
There was so much media attention, and then when it came out, you know, at least, you know, with Rust, it was kind of fell under the radar and the movie's kind of gone away. But
I was going to ask, I don't even remember Rust being released.
Yeah, they did quietly, but yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by The Punchline. Tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner, The Punchline remains Atlanta's longest running premier comedy nightclub, where you can get a huge slab of cake or pancakes to satisfy any cravings you have while you're laughing. Tonight, Valentine's weekend, Jose Sardui. Next weekend, February 20th through the 21st, Sugar Sammy. February 26th, T. Sanders. February 27th, John Heffron. March 4th, Andy Woodhull. And March 5th through 7th, returning, Matt Brauner, who we saw last year, and we're going to try to go to the show this year. Patreon members, remember to keep an eye out for a post offering you a chance to win a pair of passes to an upcoming show. And our winner this week are Terry and Tom Kennedy, longtime supporters and listeners to this show. So congratulations, Terry and Tom Kennedy. I'll be reaching out to you. Go to punchline.com and check out all the shows.
Hey, there's the whole crew.
There you go. Let me introduce you. I'm Tim.
I know you guys. I've been watching your videos.
Oh, okay. And you still
you're like, we're the one, huh?
Yeah, well, me and 100 of my friends. No kidding.
It's the Manifold series so far. Selfies is out. That came out last year, or 2024. Mm-hmm. And Fabricants came out in 2025, and your humble cousin took quite a while to narrate it and edit it, but hopefully it sounds good.
That sounds great.
And Dustin and Jeff both listened to the first novel, and they both own the second one, so they'll get to it.
Well, awesome. Thank you for your support.
I started listening to it, and I'm like, I can't listen to myself. I cannot do it. I started getting embarrassed. I'm like, I'm listening to myself.
Well, I can tell you that after the first chapter of Selfies, I was able to separate and fall into the book. I completely forgot that it was you.
Yeah, I did the same thing. It's like, you know, the first few minutes, it's like, oh, well, this is Tim. But then after a while, you just totally forget. And you just I get drawn into the book. You did a great job of taking me in. So,
oh, thank you. Thank
good
you.
Job,
far
Tim.
From the little welcome. Boy.
Thank you.
Far from the little boy with the big wheel going down St. James Street in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. Were you in college with Michael Jordan?
Yes, he and I are best friends. No, I saw him. Actually, I saw him the summer. That summer I was working after he went pro when he went to the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at a bookstore on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, and he came in that summer because he was going to summer school to finish some classes, and he came in with his entourage. And I swear to God, he had a $1,000 suit on and these expensive. He used to walk around campus in T-shirts and cut off sweats.
Yeah.
And here he was, you know, all dressed up.
That's amazing. So
he
you
didn't
weren't
say anything to me.
How long have you been writing?
I started writing in probably, I want to say it was 1998, 97, something like that. It was about a year before my oldest son was born.
Okay.
And I, you know, my mom, you know my mom, of course, but the rest of these guys probably don't know that my mom actually wrote and published 13 books. And she was my inspiration. And she used to help me. She actually taught me some things when I was in college on how to write and so forth. And I just thought, you know, maybe I should try this out myself. And so I used to do that. We used to go on a lot of business trips, and I would take a laptop with me. And when I was bored in the room, I'd do writing. And then at one point, we just decided that one of us was going to stay home with the kids when our oldest son was born. And Susan decided to stay where she was. And I decided to take a little time off and finish the book I was working on. And that was supposed to be temporary. And that was 98. So it's still going. I'll let you know if I ever go back.
Yeah. Well, this is a full-time job. Writing a book is a full-time job. And you started out, and people just step on me if you want to ask a question. So you started out doing what kind of books? Not necessarily fiction, right? You were doing nonfiction.
Well, no, actually, I started out trying to be the next Stephen King. And I don't know if you realize this, but that worked out really well for me.
Yeah.
I saw a thing the other day that said, you know, Stephen King doesn't even need to put the name of his novel on the book. He just puts Stephen King and everybody buys it. But anyway,
right. Yeah.
You know, I thought I would write horror, and because I was a huge fan of his. And so I started trying to write that and realized fairly quickly that I did not have the skill set that he has. I mean, I don't know what goes on in his brain, but I could not emulate that.
At the beginning of the show, we were talking about the news that came out this week that the third book in the Talisman series is coming out in October.
Oh, my God.
Did you read The Talisman?
I did a long time ago, I guess, or maybe I'm confusing that with, I don't know. I haven't read a whole lot of his later stuff because I have gotten more into science fiction recently, but I've always read science fiction.
Who are some of your favorite science fiction authors?
Well, as a kid, it was Herbert, you know, the Dune series, and mm-hmm. Asimov, and, you know, those are the names that sort of come to me. But lately, I've been getting into a lot of these, you know, these authors, like, of course, Andy Weir.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first audiobook I listened to, The Martian, and that was pretty awesome. And Martha Wells, I don't know if you're familiar with Martha Wells, but she wrote the Murderbot series, which mm-hmm. they have a,
oh, yeah.
they now have a, that's gone to TV.
That's a good show on Apple.
Yeah.
And she used to be a youth author, or she still is, I guess, but she would write these little books, and I swear to God, they're, you know, 150 pages. They're really short. But I started reading these books and I just fell in love. And she's got a new one coming out in May, I think. I've already ordered it. But and she gave me a little inspiration when I was writing, because I was in the middle of writing my book, and about how she had gotten this robot to basically, it had a sense of humor and it was kind of messed up like the rest of us. And it just kind of inspired me to write about that in my series, same type of thing. But anyway, so those are probably the main people lately. And of course, you know, I can list a whole bunch of other author names, but those are the ones that are, you know, I listen to or watch the whole James S. A. Corey, the Expanse, and then read
Expanse was series. Great.
God, 9 books. Each one of them is about 700 pages.
It's, yeah.
You know, I spent the last year reading those when I was doing any reading. But yeah.
Did you ever get into the Bobaverse books?
No, I did not. I'm not sure if I've heard of that. Bobaverse?
We Are Legion, We Are Bob was the first one.
Oh, okay.
One. And it's probably up to what now, like 8 books. And but it's a cool story how a man's consciousness gets put in a
Neumann.
And he sends out, he can replicate himself. And
oh, I'll have to read that.
Yeah, it's very much like Gen X kind of sensibility, kind of like what you were just talking about the robot. Kind of sensibility, like a human sensibility. Yeah, it's very fun. Yeah.
And that's kind of a singularity. You know, back in the late 20th century, there was a lot of talk about downloading consciousness. Yeah. And we were going to be at the singularity. I'm not sure what the current estimate will be. You know, it's like the.
When we get back from when we went on the moon, then we'll have it.
Thank you, Elon.
I would like to. I'm going to name my first robot Mouth.
Lizzie, you got any questions? I feel bad because this is 2 weeks in a row now where you haven't really.
I actually do have a question.
Okay.
And this is more for, I guess, for writers. I mean, I don't consider myself a writer, but like I write a lot, you know. And sometimes something I'm like really passionate about, I might stay up till 4 a.m. writing and thinking it's really good. 2 days later, I read it and I trash it.
No, you know, don't do all, that.
I mean,
don't
the majority of the time I'm trashing it. Do you go through that?
Yeah, but don't trash anything. Believe me, it's a process. It's like, you know, writing is a skill that you learn. It's like any skill that you try to do. You know, the more you do it, the better you get at it, but never throw. This is one of the things my mom told me: don't throw anything away. When I write and rewrite, and you know the way I have always said it is: if I write a book that's 100,000 words, which Fabricants was about 130,000, so that's a pretty big book. But if I write a book that's about 100,000 words, I probably wrote 1,000,000 words before I finally. Because I write and rewrite and then edit and think it's wonderful. Then I hand it to my wife and she gives me 17 errors in the first 5 pages and then lots of questions. And then, you know, I have a editor that we hired to do all my books, Claire, and she's a millennial, which I love because she kind of, you know, makes my writing a little bit younger, but she'll challenge me on just about everything. And she'll say, well, you know, that chapter wasn't exactly your best stuff, mm-hmm. you know. So, but you know, it's part of the process. You're just
like, do you ever cringe on what you wrote, though? Or are you ever like, ugh?
I used to do that. Now yeah. I just recognize it as, oh, well, this was me. The first step is me telling myself the story, and oftentimes it's, you know, some little snippets of great stuff comes out, but most of it is just, wow, I can't believe that I went into that little side thing. Nobody wants to read that. That's 2 pages of useless stuff, and I'll just delete it. But no, I mean, it's you're trying to tell yourself the story before you're telling everyone else the story, especially if you're generating a story that never existed before. So don't throw anything away. Just keep going.
Okay.
When
that's
I
just my yeah, go ahead.
Thank Dan. You.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, our grandparents had a photography studio in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. Our grandfather was a photographer and our grandmother worked there. And I think you would either sent it or you had left it, but you drew this comic strip and it was Super Hamster. And I wasn't allowed
super,
to take
super,
it.
No, it was Guinea Pig.
Guinea Pig.
It was Guinea what Pig. Was it? Super Pig.
Super Pig, that's right.
Yeah.
And I would look at it, and I still remember like parts of the studio in the back because of where I was holding it. I wasn't allowed to take it. I had to leave it there. But every time I'd go in that building, I would look at it and go, this is so awesome. This is so awesome. I always wanted to draw comics and stuff. And I always bring it up whenever we talk or we're in a situation like this. But it's sort of kind of leads to where you are now, still being creative and coming up with ideas. Yeah. But it was really well drawn, as if I remember well.
Well, thank you.
Remember and color.
We had Tim and I were raised by we had grandparents that just they weren't conventional people. I mean, my grandfather was our grandfather, both of our mother's father was in World War II, and he always used to tell a story about how, because he had a photography studio, as Tim said, and every time we'd go to visit, you had to go bring your clothes because Pa's going to take your portrait and so
That's
forth.
Right.
And they had a whole set of shelves of all the grandkids. And but you'd ask Pa about, you know, well, how did you get into photography? And he said, well, you know, I was in he was in the Navy during the war. And one of my commanding officer asked if they wanted to take some pictures and if they asked if anyone had any photography experience. And he said, I do. And then he says, okay, McNaney, you're in charge of taking this photo shoot. And he said, and then I had to go down to the library and figure out how to do photography. But he was an artist. I mean, he was an artist. I guess, you know, we kind of learned non-conventionality by just sort of watching him. I mean,
see, that's one of those rare things that I never heard him say, because by the time I was a teenager or a young teenager, you know, he had, what did he have? He had Alzheimer's.
Dementia. Yeah, he had dementia. Well, he had a stroke, and then he had, I think that led to dementia.
Right. And so, but he told me lots of great stories. That's just one I'd never heard before. That's pretty cool. His story was how he said that the shells they were loading inside of the guns that they were firing into Japan were the size of a Volkswagen.
Yeah. And he was the guy who would sight, so he had to use protractors and so forth, and he was the guy that would plot solutions so they knew, you know, exactly where to aim these guns. These are the big battleship. Well, I guess he was on a cruiser. I don't think he was on a battleship, but he was a very unique man, you know, just super opinionated, super creative, and anyway. Yeah. So yeah, I guess we both come by, you know, Tim's very creative too. Tim draws and Tim does his things. We probably came by that honestly.
Yeah, it comes from all sorts of influences.
But anyway, Super Pig, I have not revived that.
No, you should. Do you still have it? Did you ever get the cartoon back?
Maybe my mom gave it back to me after after my dad died. She went through her house and cleared a whole bunch of stuff out. I'll have to go through and see if it's in some box somewhere.
And my mom, much like your mom, never threw anything away, but it was usually old purses or newspapers.
Yeah. Should I tell the story about how you beat the shit out of a plant that I grew from a seed?
I don't remember that. So yes, please tell that story. Where?
When we used to live in Ithaca and you guys were in Elmira, Tim was about 3 years old.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember that.
I'm a little bit older than Tim, so I was about 10, and I had grown this little begonia from a seed. You know, it was one of those things where you had it little, you know, watered it every day, and this thing popped up. And I finally planted it into our front porch. Tim comes over, he's three, and he has a little baseball bat. And he was like, I'm going to beat the shit out of this thing because it's ugly. I never let him live that down, by the way.
You've never told me until now.
That's good.
You just don't remember me telling you, or you blocked it.
He's had a vendetta against you ever since.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine that.
Didn't let you know.
All I remember about going to that house is I went to Sunday school one time, and I made a little round thing that you would spin, and that we made at Sunday school. And then I remember your Aunt Sharon, your mom, she said to pretend you have a telephone and call the phone and then ask Jesus to come into your heart. So I did it. And then I told my mom, and my mom lost her mind. We're Catholic, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm four. I was going to say,
what Catholic goes to Sunday school?
Yeah, some Catholic.
I was just about to ask that.
A Catholic with a diverse family, that's who.
Yes, well.
We might need add a little context here, though, too. My parents were actually missionaries for a number of years, so, and they were fairly fundamentalist for a number of years.
Yeah, and you lived in Africa in the Ivory Coast.
Yeah, I spent some time there, and we used to move around a lot. Yeah.
Were you homeschooled?
No, we just went to school wherever we moved to. I just always had to make new friends every few years. And
then everybody moved to North Carolina.
Yes.
Except for two of us. So when did this idea for the manifold universe come into your mind? And did you just kind of pop into your head and you go,
what was the first part of it that came to you? Was it the actual manifold or was it the character?
That's a good question, Dustin. It actually started with the selfies idea because I wanted to write a book. I knew it was futuristic. I knew it was going to be about a guy that was probably an ex-con, and he was accused of murder, and they had all the DNA and blood and everything from the murder, but there was no way he could have done it. So I had this idea and I knew it was going to be futuristic and I knew that there was going to be people out there that looked exactly like other people. And that was really where it began. The manifold came up later on while I was plotting the book out because I knew that I didn't want these selfies, these people that looked like everyone else, to be sort of your traditional, you know, it's like, well, it could be a clone or it could be a robot that looks like you. Or it could be twins. Conan Doyle said it's never twins, you know, and right. So forth. And I knew it wasn't going to be any of those things. So I wanted to come up with a unique way to describe how people could sort of exist that look exactly like each other. And I won't give you too much about that if you haven't read the book, but I will hint at the fact that it has something to do with the multiverse.
Yes.
And the main character's name is Trap. And in the first narration, I sort of read him sounding a little bit like Harrison Ford. And did you notice I changed him a little bit in the second?
Yeah, he got a little bit less Han Solo-y.
I tried to make him sound a little bit like Mike Armentrout.
That's what I was going to say.
I know. But the thing is now when I write Trap, he sounds exactly like the way you narrate him. Bretta, maybe not so much, but
no, Bretta is hard to do. But I want to do the female voices as females as best as I can. So,
trap. And it makes me go back to God, what is his name? The
McCullough.
Yeah, how'd you know?
That's exactly who I thought you sounded like.
Shit.
I was gonna I've been meaning to tell you that. Like from Brain Candy.
Yes.
Like his female character in Brain.
Yeah, because every time she says trap, I think in my head, Chris.
So you do that so well. You really do it. Maybe too well.
Maybe too well, but that's okay.
Well, no, and I mean, when you're narrating a book, I've listened to so many audiobooks, and if it's one narrator, if it's a male narrator, it's not going to have a female voice, and you know, he's just going to raise his voice a little bit and make it sound. And you can still get lost in the story that way. It's not.
And I like that. When we were talking earlier before you joined, that I'm listening to an audiobook now, and the narrator doesn't do any characters. And so you get very lost. Maybe I think Jason Pargan wants you to read the book and not listen to it, and he's just obligated. I don't know. He might be.
Oh, I like Jason. Yeah.
You know him?
I know about him. Yeah. He's a good author.
He's great.
I'm on book 3 of the John Dies at the End series because there's a new one coming out.
What was the name of his book with the big no and the first one, but anyway, yeah, I mostly watch him on the internet because he does these great little reels. He's one of my favorite guys these days.
This would not exist.
Yeah, right.
This could never happen.
We all believe this has happened, but we were all wrong. I love that. I just love it.
He's cool. Guys, more questions?
Yeah. So the Manifold series is 3 books.
Yes.
And Tim's going to do the next book.
Yes, as soon as I get done writing it.
So it hasn't been published yet?
No. You know, I'm still in the middle of plotting it out and doing some writing. That's what I'm doing right now. That's the project I'm working on. You know, we were pretty busy getting that audiobook. Tim had a lot of work to do, and then I would go through and listen and so forth, and that took some time. And then I would have to type up these long emails telling Tim every little error that he made.
They're awesome. Yeah,
but they weren't. He didn't have that many errors. No. 130,000 words. He did pretty damn well.
And some chapters that were really long, and I'm not complaining, but they're really long, and I'm like, I got to get this right, because if I screw it up, I got to go back and fix it. And then sort of after I started recording this one, I forget what chapter it was, but we talked about pacing and slowing it down a little bit and leaving some spaces in between. So the first chapter, I'm like, I mean, it's not.
Well, yeah. But. Well, so that's one thing that I didn't even know, but you're supposed to, I mean, for an audio book, you're supposed to probably do about 150, 160 words a minute. Yeah. And I would start counting, and he had, you know, 180 words a minute or 190 words. And someone gave that comment about selfies. So then he started slowing it down. I was like, wow, he sounds really slow now. But yeah, so I'm working on the third book, and hopefully I'm going to be able to get it out by the end of summer, and then probably hit Tim up in the fall for more narrating. So
how's the reception been for both books?
We've had a great reception. I haven't sold a ton yet because right now what we're in the process of, and I'm going to put in a plug. So if anyone listening to this, watching this, please, you know, we're independent authors or just like podcasters. We live and die based on reviews, especially good reviews. And if you feel the need to give me a 2, maybe you could feel the need to not put that out there. But if you've got, yeah, exactly. This is how we get the algorithm to notice us and put us out there. So please, if you read my book, you know, or read any independent author's books or any books, please put some reviews out there if you can. That helps. But yeah, we're working on that. My wife, Susan, who's also my publicist and she does pretty much everything. She does all the research. She's right now working on ways to get more and more reviews. And she's really learned a lot in this process. So we're learning together.
What a supportive wife you have.
She really is wonderful. You know, when we started talking about this temporary me going, staying home with the boys, at that point, it was just one baby. We have 3 now, but she stayed in the, she loves what she does. She does a very good job, and she just continues to keep supporting me and telling me to keep plugging forward.
That's great. That's awesome. That's great to have that support because it wouldn't work any other way, really.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to, well, obviously you got to plug where people can find it.
I'm on Amazon. You can get Selfies is available on Barnes & Noble for order. And we're available on audio on Audible. We're available on Apple Books for both of the books versions. Doing work trying to put them in small independent stores here and so forth. So,
do you have a website or anything?
Oh, yeah. ScottAYoungAuthor.com. I put an extra dot in there. Yes. ScottAYoungAuthor.com.
Dot.
But look for me on Amazon too. You have to look under Scott A. Young, and then there's more than one of us out there. By the way, Neil Young's father is an author, and his name is Scott Young too. So sometimes some of his fans come to my page. I don't know. So he's Canadian though. That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. My dad's book.
Listen to my dad's book.
Oh my God, Lizzie. You've got a great voice.
Oh, thank you. It's my Neil Young impersonation.
I was right there in the room with him.
So thank you for joining us. Thank you for the opportunity to read both of the books, and I look forward to reading. Does the next one have a title yet, or are you not allowed to say?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I can give you the title. It's Replicants.
Okay.
And, you know, the first book was Selfies. The second book is Fabricants. The third book is Replicants.
Nice.
Which I stole from Blade Runner, but.
That's okay. You know,
that's
great.
Okay.
Great.
You were inspired by Blade Runner.
I was. Yeah. And I've given them credit for it. So, but thank you guys so much for letting me join your little family. And thank you, Tim, for all your great work on this. People should listen, if for no other reason than to hear Tim. He does a great and totally awesome job.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to do it. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
It was nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you guys.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza in Euro, your local family-owned pizzeria and the place to get local craft beer and great food that's always made fresh to order. They're open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays from 12 to 9, and they are closed on Sundays. Now, I've been trying to explain to my son why Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, but he's not getting it. Why would they want to stay with their families? The food truck is once again on winter break, but probably in early March, it'll come out of break. Give us a call if you have a corporate or private event that you're interested in possibly booking. As always, we thank you for your continued support and for listening to the absolute best podcast around, Radio Labyrinth. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. Hey, thanks to Scott. We didn't have enough time to cover all the topics we're going to talk about, but that interview was fun. I didn't watch any of the Super Bowl. I didn't watch, you know, the right wing or the left wing Super Bowl halftime shows. I ended up watching Danny Goh. So if you have a kid and you're listening to this, you probably know who Danny Goh is, especially if you have a young child. Because I took the opportunity of the half hour break in the game to put Gilbert to bed. But I watched clips of the Bad Bunny performance Monday morning. And I was like, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
What's the big deal? This guy's like the top performer, one of the top performers in the country right now. And I think what happens when you have these things is that you get the, okay, this is going to be it, and then these people hate it, and it just becomes this media frenzy, but all it does is push eyeballs to that.
I was going to say, I think it's just like another way to divide us, and people that are easily brainwashed will make it political on either side.
But in one way that we can all unite, I hope, is the fact that the Patriots ate shit.
Yeah.
At the Super Bowl. And that made me quite happy. Because I'm not a Seahawks fan. I don't love them or hate them. I was happy that they won. Had they been playing another AFC team other than the Bills, I would have been rooting for them as well. But it was just really nice to see Stephon Diggs get pissed. And now he's never going to play again because he's probably going to go to jail. All right. Jeff, snooze or views?
Is V
views.
Or.
And snooze.
Last week was the Super Bowl. This week, season 2 of Cross comes on Amazon Prime. Did you watch season 1?
I did not.
It was very good. No, it was really good.
Who's in it?
It's that dude, this Aldous Hodge. He was on Leverage.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. She likes this show, Cross.
Yeah. And it's really good. Season 1 was really good. I'm looking forward to season 2. That comes on Amazon Prime on the 11th. So today.
Okay.
Then HBO Max has this new show called Neighbors, a reality show, but it's disputes between neighbors.
This looks right up my alley.
Yeah. I wonder if Steph Skeleton is going to have a cameo on this show.
I saw it yesterday, by the way.
Oh, you drove past it?
I literally did the house behind theirs, and it's still there.
Really?
Yeah.
And then that new Cat Williams special. Has anybody watched that yet?
I haven't, but I heard about half funny. Of it.
I heard it's really good.
It's funny. The Ozempic stuff is hilarious.
Is it better than the last one?
Yes, because this one is more of a, he's not like trying to still push something that now everybody knows. So he's a lot more relaxed.
Yeah.
Oh, and nice. Just,
yeah, it's funny. It's really good.
Hey, before we go, I want to remind you that you can become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. How about that? Radio Labyrinth listeners, you radios, you can support us for the low, low cost of $5 a month. Only $5 a month. That's it. That's the only tier moving forward. You can keep it where it was before or lower it to $5, whatever you want to do. And this is aside from the executive producers. If you're paying more and want to reduce it, go ahead. Tariffs are hitting us hard.
No, they're not. I mean, they're beautiful. The economy's great.
And for anyone on the fence or looking to support us, make sure you add your address to the Patreon profile so we can get it and mail you a thank you letter and our latest sticker. And for the executive producers, we'd love to have you join us as guests on Radios in the Dark. So far, we've had Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza in Euro and another special guest coming up soon. But it's your show. And you help us keep it going with your generous donations. And we'd love to have you join us for the live Patreon show, Radios in the Dark. For $25 a month, you become a producer, an executive producer. That's your title. And you'll get a sticker, a shirt of your choice from our merch store, and a weekly shout out on the show. Plus the aforementioned opportunity to sit in with us while we record the live Patreon show. So without any further ado, let's thank our most recent additions to the producer column. Pat Squatch Talk Turner, and I will give you a plug for your podcast, Squatch Talk, Pat Turner, Scott Augustine. We also have Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much for supporting us. Hey everybody, thank you to our guest, Scott A. Young. Everybody go out, and if you haven't yet, check out Selfies, which is the first book in the Manifold series, and then the most recent one, which is called Fabricants, narrated by yours truly. But you can also, if you're a traditionalist and you like to read, get the books. They're available. Remember to like us, rate us, and review us on Spotify, please. And if you are watching us on YouTube, chat, have fun, chat with people in the below, in the comments. We love to read them. Subscribe to the channel, please. And turn
start fights in the comments.
Yeah, let's
do it.
Fight with people and tag other people. So we'll be back next week with another new show. Until that time, please remember to
keep it in.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the rain.